Hey, everyone. I'm Dan Whedon. Welcome to Unleashed, the podcast. Today, my guest is Monica Blackwood from West Sound Workforce. Monica is an expert when it comes to human resources and staffing, and our conversation today is very important, especially for anyone who is an employer or an employee in the state of Washington. Even if you're not, the Long-Term Care Act tax is on its way to a state near you. So I think this is a really important episode for everyone to learn about what is coming either now or in the future. We will discuss specifically some of the challenges with the tax that's coming up and ways that you can help yourself and your employees. I hope you enjoy. Unleash the Podcast is brought to you by my sponsors, the Kitsap Sun and Emerging Risk Solution. Thanks to them for their support of the show. Now, let's get unleashed. Hey, everyone. I'm Dan Whedon. Welcome to Unleashed the Podcast. Thank you for being a part of the Facebook group where we're live streaming. Now, you might be listening later on, watching this later on. So thanks for joining us anyway. Let me tell you that you can become a member of the Unleashed the Podcast group. It's free. Just search on Facebook, Unleashed the Podcast, join the group, and then you can watch these videos live as we're doing them. You can also subscribe to Unleashed the Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are ubiquitous. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Pandora Podcasts. I don't know who I'm missing, Monica Blackwood, but are you impressed that I used the word ubiquitous?
I am very much. Yes.
Well, it's one of my favorite words since I first heard it on Leave It to Beaver years ago. I'll have to tell that story at another time. But for right now, I'm excited to have my guest, Monica Blackwood, CEO of West Sound Workforce. We have a really important special topic today to talk about. And for those of you outside the state of Washington who say, oh, this is a Washington State Act, hang tight. It's coming to a state near you. Monica is shaking her head. As we've done research on this, there are other states out there who are going to follow suit. Washington just happens to be the first. I do want to say on behalf of Monica, first of all, Monica, thank you for being here. West Sound Workforce is a fantastic organization. I'm going to have at the end Monica talk about what they do for their clients in a whole bunch of different staffing and human relation human resources type of issues. So at the end, Monica, don't let us leave without you plugging West Sound Workforce a little bit, but let's dive into this. Why don't we?
Sure.
So Monica, in 2019, the Washington State Legislature passed this Long-Term Care Act. Now, my guess is the 2020 was gonna be the year where they kind of rolled it out slowly and told everybody what was gonna happen. And then this pandemic, this COVID-19 thing came out of the blue, and it's really only until now where it's getting real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting real,
yeah, for sure.
And I'm starting to get phone calls from my clients. And I've been doing some research, I know you have, and it's time we talk about this. So I'm going to explain what it is, and then I want to ask you how it affects employers. So the Long-Term Care Act is the state of Washington's way of dealing with what I agree with them, the impending problem of long-term care, funding long-term care in our country. And I do give them props for making an attempt to do this, and I think it may have its place, but there's some challenges with the act, and it deals with wage earners, whether you're the CEO or whether you are the newly hired receptionist, whatever it is, everything in between, it applies to them. So here's what's going to happen starting January 1 of 2022. And that's kind of a mouthful to say, 2022, a lot of twos. Every employee will have to pay themselves. It's their tax to pay, not the employer's. A 58 cent per $100 of income tax. What that means is if you're making $100,000, because I can only do grade school math, Monica, if you're making $100,000, that's $580 a year that you're going to pay to this tax. If you're making $200,000 a year, you're going to pay about $1,100. I'm going to get it. You see where this goes. And by the way, there's no cap on it. So if you're making $500,000 or you have hired, you're paying a lot of money into it. The second problem with it is that the benefit amount that you get is $36,500. That's a lifetime benefit. Now, while there might be a little inflation set in there to go up, so do costs, right? Costs are going to go beyond what inflation is. $36,500 is about a 6 month process. If you're that gets paid up in about 6 months in today's rate. The other big problem, I'm going to ask Monica the question because we have other things to talk about. But the other problem is that if you decide to move to Arizona or California or Texas or Florida or wherever you want to go outside the state of Washington in retirement, you'd either have to forfeit that if you went into assisted living or you'd have to move back to the state of Washington. So there's a lot of issues with it. Monica, talk about where the employers are with this today. As we're talking on March the 26th, what are the employers' obligations? How are they dealing with this? How are their HR departments dealing with it? Talk about this from an employer's perspective.
Well, thanks for having me. And I agree with you. This is a really important topic because it has flown kind of under the radar. Even the trust commission that was set up in 2019 stated that employer education on this was going to happen in 2020 and 2021. Well, I was on their website reviewing their meeting minutes from the last several months. And needless to say, with everything that happened in 2020, they haven't gotten very far in the way of employer education for this. But basically, the good news in it all is that the true responsibility, the down to the nitty-gritty detail responsibility of the employer is simply to collect the funds from each person's paycheck and then submit those to the state with the quarterly taxes, right? That's the bare minimum employer responsibility in all of this.
And if I read this correctly, the employer is not even allowed to help contribute. Did I read that correctly?
So the employer is not able to contribute to this this fund.
So it could not be an employee benefit.
It couldn't be an employee benefit unless it was something that was outside that the employer set up as a policy or as a
gotcha.
Benefit.
Right. So the tax itself, this is a tax on the employee. If the employer sets up, and we'll talk about insurance, if the employer sets up something independent that meets the, you know, whatever the opt-out is, that can be done, but just on a straight level. The other thing I want to talk, or am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. The other thing I want to ask you about is we were digging through this, and you and I had a chat a little bit earlier just to make sure we're on the same page. the opt-out.
Right.
The opt-out is unique, and it's and it's a little bit complicated. I'm going to talk later again about insurance, but when they're talking about opting out, they say the self-employed can opt out.
Self-employed.
What's the definition of self-employed, Monica?
Well, if you are a business owner and you pay yourself, if you pay yourself as a W-2 employee, you are still an employee of your organization. You are not self-employed by the way that this is structured. And, you know, I mean, a lot of business owners learned all about that with the PPP and all of
right.
that happened in 2020. So hopefully a lot of people are much more aware of their employment status. So you have to be self-employed. Now, there are a couple other caveats to opting out, you know, and that's if you have a plan in place already, and then you can opt in or you can opt out. But that opt out period is only basically this year. I think it goes, I've seen a couple of dates. Most I've seen is through July, but I've seen a couple other dates as well. So
I'm going to back up on that in a second, but it is through July. Here's what it says. If I'm reading it correctly, and you're going to check my work. You have to have a plan in place by the end of July. And then you appeal it. There's an appeals process and that says, I'm opting out. So let's say you say, I'm going to get my own insurance. You can't tell the state, hey, it's in process.
Right.
You have to have it in place by July. So I'm going to use Dan Whedon as an example. My company, Toro Consulting Inc., just like the bull Vivo over my shoulder, Toro Consulting Inc., I am a W-2. I'm an S corporation. I'm a W-2 employee, which means I cannot, even though it's just me, I can't opt out. However, I can, because guess what? I've had long-term care insurance for 15 years. Believe it or not, I was 41 years old when I got it. So I will have to send to the state, here's my long-term care policy that's in force. I don't know what they're going to ask for. Maybe a copy. I don't know, but I'm going to show that to them and they'll say, yep, Dan, you've got a policy that is equal or exceeding what we have. Right. You don't have to pay for that.
And once you opt out, Dan, you cannot go back in.
That's correct.
It's a one and done decision.
Right. And you don't have to opt out every year, by the way, too. So I was asked that question. Do I have to do this every year? No, you opt out the one time and you can't go back in. So you got to make sure you keep paying your premiums for your long-term care. But that's the weird part about it is all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're in April 1st here in just a little bit less than a week. And just, you may not know this, but you can't buy long-term care insurance like you can car insurance. There's an application process in place. It can take 2, 3, 4 weeks, depending on a number of factors, to get that in place. And so that's why I thought this timing was so good. Would you share, I know you did a lot of research leading up to this, Monica, and you're so well-versed in talking to business owners. What are some, I don't even say best practices, what are some things that they need to think about from an educating the employee standpoint, sure, from a getting things set up on an HR standpoint, from paperwork and administrative burden? What are some things they need to think about?
So kind of going back to my comments about the trust commission, right? You know, they had set up this timeline. They were going to educate employers in 2020 and 2021. Their timeline says that they are going to have education materials for employees in 2024. Now, that makes sense because employees cannot actually access this benefit until 2025. But if you go back and say, hey, we're going to start taking money out of your paycheck in 2022, and employees don't really know what that's all about, you know darn well that those HR managers and business leaders and accounting folks are going to get a flood of calls, a flood of emails, a flood of, you know, text messages, whatever, to be like, what the heck is coming out of my paycheck? So employers should be gearing up to prepare their employees for this tax to be coming out of their paychecks the beginning of January, much like we had to do a couple of years ago when we had the paid family medical leave act.
Yes, this probably goes alongside that paid family leave act. I may have said that incorrectly, but the concept is very similar, isn't it?
Yes, it is. With that, however, employers do pay into it. And with
this, right. Right. But I think the end concept of how it's
refund
made out. We have a question. I always love questions that came in and Mary, you wrote the question. I'm going to answer it in just a second. So thanks for asking. I'm going to try to keep track of the questions here. And I'm going to dive into insurance just for a second, Monica. So one of the opt-outs is you get your own insurance. Right. And it's not hard to meet or exceed what the state is giving. You know, the question was, if you get your own long-term care insurance through any number of insurance companies that offer it, the question was, will it cover you in any state? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. You can, yes. You can buy a long-term care coverage from Lincoln Financial Group, for example, and you can live anywhere you want. Now, I'd probably still want to be in the United States because of just the services that you can get, but you get that. So let me give you a couple things on insurance, on long-term care insurance, why I think this it's an advantage. Number one, the benefit amount is completely based on how much you put in. So you can set up a long-term care policy, and whether you're doing it off of a budgeted amount you want to put in, or you want to reach a certain amount, say $10,000 a month or whatever, you can set that up so it meets that. You can also set it up to have it grow at a 3% or a 6% compound rate, you know, to meet with inflation or even beyond. So you can live outside wherever, you know, you can be outside the state of Washington as well. Here's the other thing that I think is important. When you look at a 58-cent rate, Monica, that's a pretty, on $100 of revenue or income, that's a lot. And what I'm recommending to my clients is take, you know, have your employees, especially the higher wage earners, because I think this was put into place for people, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, who may not be able to afford long-term care. These are maybe on the wage earning side on the lower end. And the state is saying, hey, you're making 100, 200, 300, 400,000 a year. You can buy long-term care insurance. And I think that that's one of the things that they're pushing, whether people think that politically good or not. I think that that's a reality. You should at least take what you're going to pay anyway. So let's use that $580 bucks a year for the 100,000. What would you pay over the course of 10 years or 20 years, depending on how old you are and how long you're going to be in the workforce and how much your income goes up? How much are you going to pay anyway? Take even a portion of that amount and put it into a personal plan, and you're going to have substantially more available to you at a greater flexibility. That's my recommendation for anybody who's looking at this. Saying, oh my God, I have to pay this tax. Well, you're right, because on the tax, you're only going to get it back if you live long enough to use it, right? Or if you live long enough to use it, because right. If you die, there's nothing that comes back. Long-term care policies today. Or you stay in Washington, that's right. Long-term care policies today also have a life insurance component that says, if you die before you use it, you can either get anywhere between 70% or 100% of your whole premium paid back to your beneficiary. And that's not happening here. If you've paid into the tax for 25 years and unfortunately pass away one day into retirement, your beneficiary is not getting anything.
No. And if you live out of state for more than 5 years, you forfeit all of that as well.
You know what? Thank you for talk about that. In all the things that I was writing down, I forgot to mention that. Please reiterate that.
Yeah. So, you know, as you mentioned, Dan, if you move out of state, then those benefits are not available to you. You can't use them if you're living in Arizona. You can move out of state. But if you're out of state for more than 5 years, say your job transfers you or you take a promotion somewhere and you move out of state and you're there for 6 years, you've now forfeited all of
you know the- what? I missed that part. Thank you for bringing that up. See, I'm learning as you go along. I completely missed that. So you're not saying even after you're done paying, you're saying
no.
If your job transfers you. So
you
what
go
if
out of state.
What if it's a... What if it is a Washington state-based employer and you get transferred to California, you're still working for a Washington state-based employer? How does that work?
It's tricky and I'm not clear with that, to be completely honest.
Right.
Because it just hasn't been fleshed out yet, right?
Yeah.
Information isn't available. The other thing, going back to kind of the employer responsibilities and this whole opt-out thing, is that come towards the end of the year, HR managers and accounting professionals need to start figuring out who has opted out, who's been accepted to be out, and then start tweaking your payroll once again, your payroll system once again, to apply the certain taxes to one individual and not to another. I mean, there's a lot of intricacies that go along with
Because I have a question on that. I saw Mary asked another question. What if you move out of country? You know, every insurance policy has its territory of coverage. And I would be remiss if I tried to say, yeah, that would cover it. I think it comes down to, it may only be United States based, but I'm not positive. That's something I'm going to have to look up. So that's something to keep in mind, but there is nothing that says you can't move to France for 7 years or 8 years, like one of our good friends I know who's done, and then move back. So there's nothing about where you live in between. So that's an important aspect of that. You just made a comment, these HR departments, and sometimes you might have an HR department in a small business of three or four people. The HR department might actually be it could be the CEO too. I mean, you know, when should they start legitimately working at the administrative side, setting up payroll, educating people? I mean, should it be now?
I would say so, especially if you are one of those employers that brings in outside subject matter experts like you, Dan, and say, hey, you know, come talk with some individuals and get some information to decide whether or not this state plan is appropriate for you or an individual plan might be appropriate for you. Employers have the opportunity to bring in those educational resources for their employees and can start that process. Because if somebody decides that they want to opt out, like I said, I mean, it's a very finite time where we are able to opt out of this, right? And
yes.
So if they decide they want to do that, there's a lot of steps involved. You got to get it done by the end of July. And then it has to be accepted by the state, and that will take some time. So the more communication that your HR and accounting person can have with the individual employees to know what they are planning and what they're trying to do gives you the opportunity to start putting some of those processes in place so they don't slip through come January 1.
Monica, if there's one thing I learned in 2020 in trying to reach out to different departments of the state, is that they're working virtually they don't move quickly.
No.
They don't move quickly at all. What I'm loving here is we're getting some more questions. I'm going to ask you two questions here because I don't know if I am sure on the answer. You had mentioned if you left for, let's say, 6 years, you're is that consecutive years? Is that what the trigger is on this?
That's how I understood it. But again, it's not clear, right? And clarification has yet to come on any of it, but my understanding is that it's consecutive
years. Here's the other one, and I think I know the answer, but I'm going to let you answer. 58 cents per $100, is it based on gross pay or net pay?
I believe it's on gross pay.
I believe it's on gross pay too. I think we're on in agreement there, because I mean in the end the net can change for a variety of reasons.
Absolutely.
Your net pay could be taking out your 401k money or whatever, and the state's not going to really care about that. I'm pretty sure it's on gross pay. I do long-term care insurance, but it's on a personal basis. I've never done group. Have you found groups out there that are doing long-term care for groups?
So a number of years ago, I set one up at a former employer of mine. It was a group policy for long-term care. We had it in place for a couple of years, and then we were grandfathered in. That company no longer offered it in the state of Washington.
Oh.
Grandfathered in. I don't know if there's actually group policies still in the state. I know that it has dropped significantly, if there are.
Yeah, and you know, the problem, unfortunately, with group policies when it comes to something like long-term care is Number one, well, there's two. Number one is because long-term care in some cases would be 40 years off in the future, and you don't know exactly, like you said, a company's no longer operating. The other thing is it portable? So you leave the company. Now, do you have the opportunity to keep it? But if you do, you, like in Cobra, you might have to pay for it because you're not going to somebody else maybe who offers that as a benefit. That's why I'm of an advocate. And some people may have heard this, my story. Both my parents were in long-term care. My dad for a total of about 5 months, my mom for about 5 years.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, $36,500 is not, I mean, that's a lifetime benefit. That won't last the first year on anything that is semi-significant. Oh, I have, you know what I did in searching, Monica? I found something else.
Oh, what'd you find then?
Are you familiar with the term activities of daily living?
Yes.
So activities of daily living are things like the ability to feed yourself, the ability to go to the bathroom by yourself, the ability to move. There's seven of them. The long-term care insurance policies, for the most part, say when you can't do two of them, the insurance kicks in. The state says three. So it's even more, it's one step more difficult than many of the insurance, long-term care insurance policies who say when you reach two, you can't go to the bathroom by yourself, you can't feed yourself, you will start paying.
Yep.
This one says you have to have one more. So, you know, I guess, Monica, before I ask you to plug West Sound Workforce and the fine people that are working with you and the great work that you do, my takeaway for everybody is let's talk about long-term care insurance. Whether you want to talk to me or you want to talk to your financial wealth advisor, I don't care who you talk to. Talk to somebody because you need to look at your options. And my advice is if you're going to pay a certain dollar amount anyway, put it towards yourself, put it into your own plan as opposed to putting it in the state of Washington's plan. That's my two cents. What would your words of wisdom for our listeners, whether they are employee or employer?
I would go right along with you, Dan. One of the best things that an organization can do to retain and recruit and support their employees is to provide the opportunity for educating the employees on what is happening with their wages, right? And this is one of those things. And so if you can provide a forum where employees can gain that that knowledge and that education and then make a decision for themselves, then you have done what you can as an employer to help them.
Monica, follow-up question on that. What is the state doing or not doing to help employers do that? Do they have, because it seems like I've had to do a little bit of work on the research end.
Yes.
And a lot of the research I got didn't come from the state of Washington. It came from other really good sources of are they getting the help that are the employers getting the help that they need?
Not currently. And that goes back to that timeline where 2020, 2021 was going to be the time that the state was going to be educating us as employers. And life happens, right?
The resources are short. I get that. The resources have completely been cut by the state.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Yeah.
But same with you, Dan, you know, doing my research on all of this, I'm looking at articles in various different states saying, hey, watch what Washington's doing. They're best case for all of this because we are looking at that as well as a possibility, you know, California and Michigan.
California and Oregon. I'm thinking this is moving, you know, a lot of times we see things moving East Coast to West Coast. I think this is a West Coast to East Coast move.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So hey, plug West Sound Workforce. What is it that you guys do?
West Sound Workforce is a professional staffing agency. We help organizations find their team members, whether it be on a short-term temporary basis or attempt to hire or direct placements. We do employment opportunities for entry level all the way to leadership and CEO level. So we love talking with companies to help them find that next teammate. For employees, we are excited to be able to put you to work, put your skills and your talents in a place where you are going to thrive and see success, which means the company will see success, and so will our community all through that. So that's what we are all about.
And I'm here to play. Monica and her, they're rock stars. They're absolute rock stars. Monica, I know you're a softball. You're a softball fan, right?
Well, technically no, but I am a softball mom.
Okay, so you're familiar with the term extra innings.
Oh, definitely, yes.
We're gonna go extra. We're gonna go into one more inning because I had another question, and right. I want to be clear on this because it's a good question. The question is, so the cap to contribute at this point is $36,500. No. That's not the cap to contribute. I'm going to talk about that. She goes, in order to start using it, you need to help with three ADLs. Yes, three activities of daily living. That's correct. The $36,500 is the cap of benefit, not of what you'll pay. Am I correct on that, Monica?
That is the cap for the benefit.
You could pay if I'm 40 years old, let's say I'm not, but if I was 40 years old and I work for 25 more years, I could end up putting in $500,000.
Easily.
Yes. Yeah.
So it is not the cap. And in order to be eligible to access this in 2025 or beyond, you have to have contributed 5 of 10 years consecutively or 3 of 6, and each of those years have to have at least 500 hours in those years. So it gets a little tricky. You got to do some mental math on it all. Yep. And then you get a little over 36,000 out of it.
So I know if somebody called you at West Sound Workforce and said, would you talk to our employees? You guys would do it.
Absolutely.
And I'm here to say I would do it as well. You know what? We should go on tour.
We can go on a road trip.
We should go on tour together. I think that would be great. But listen, thank you very much. This 30 minutes that we spent together has been fantastic. I really appreciate it. And hopefully you'll come back again, and we may have to talk about this as we get closer again. But Monica, thank you very much. Hey, listen, everybody else. Go. So this is what you get when you subscribe to the podcast. So go subscribe. Think about becoming a patron member as well. Go to unleashthepodcast.com. Find out all about that. For right now, listen, be safe, be healthy. Take care of your family, wear the mask, all of that stuff. But above all, be unleashed.